Hi, I'm Carl Azuz. Thanks for watching this Thursday, April 14th. International health officials don't know how far the dangerous Zika virus will spread. But with spring bringing warmer temperatures to the northern hemisphere, they're concerned that the mosquito that carries Zika could bring the virus far north of Brazil, the country hit hardest so far. Zika's not threatening to many adults who get it. Most don't even have symptoms. Those who do may have a few days of a fever, headache, or muscle pain. But the unborn babies of pregnant women who get Zika are at risk of microcephaly, a disease that slows brain development and can cause lifelong problems. And officials are now linking Zika to premature birth, as well as eye problems and nervous system diseases in babies. There's no treatment and no cure for Zika. But researchers are racing to develop a vaccine for it, and they could be ready to test one later this year. If everything goes smoothly with that, and it's proven effective, a vaccine could be widely available to the public by 2018.
I can tell you the last time I was here at the CDC Emergency Operations Center was for Ebola, but this is the place where they're coordinating the U.S. response to Zika. We've got an exclusive look at what's happening inside. Let's take a look.
Welcome to day 12 of the IMS activation for Zika virus.
Every morning, this is the first place CDC Director Tom Frieden will look to get the latest on Zika virus.
The board here tells us what's going on at a glance. We see outbreaks around the world, where they're happening. We also look at the details of our response.
This is the Zika virus.
That's it right there.
This is what it looks like under the electron microscope.
Should we be scared of Zika, or is the emotional part of this with regard to pregnant women and microcephaly sort of making this indiscriminately more, having more impact?
Over and over again, nature deals us wild cards. In the case of Zika, the real tragedy is a family that's had a child with microcephaly, and we know that that is devastating, and I think that's what's driving the concern. This guy, this is a nasty mosquito.
This is the one.
This is Aedes aegyptii.
Is there anything good about these guys?
Mosquitoes?
I mean, would you get rid of them? I mean, they've caused so much. They cause more death than wars and natural disasters and everything put together.
You know, the mosquito kills more people than any other animal on Earth.
Do you have any thoughts about possibly using DDT?
The fact is that DDT was widely used 50 years ago and virtually eliminated this mosquito from the Americas. But DDT was also widely used in agriculture. It got into the environment and it had serious problems in the environment for many species. It also remains in the body for a long time. So we're looking at safer, more effective ways to kill mosquitoes. If you're in an area with Zika, there are a lot of things you can do. Wear mosquito repellent, use long sleeves, use clothing that has permethrin put into it. All of those things really work, and staying inside in a screened space, an air-conditioned space, really can drastically reduce your risk of getting a mosquito bite.
The U.S., which has the planet's most extreme weather, is currently in the midst of tornado season. It generally runs from March to June, though meteorologists point out that tornadoes can form at any time of year. Much of their research has been based on storms in the Midwest. But because the southeastern U.S. has an excessively large number of deadly tornadoes, a U.S. government program called Vortex Southeast is focused on that part of the country.
Vortex Southeast is very different from chasing in the plains. There's a lot of parameters that are going to be involved. For one, these tornadoes could fire up after dark. Also, there's an element of danger because unlike the plains, you can't see for miles and miles. The terrain is very different. You have a lot of hills and you have a lot of trees.
As soon as this morning convection clears out, we will probably recover very quickly.
We had our morning briefing, so we're fairly confident about what's going to happen this afternoon.
So we think there'll be more thunderstorms. The question is where exactly they're going to form. We think there's some tornado potential if storms do form this afternoon out to our west.
And so we're about to head out to see what we can find. We have some important decisions to make about exactly where to go and what time we are going to deploy these instruments. Well, here we are in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and we're just waiting. And that's what happens a lot of times when you're storm chasing. We're waiting on these storms to fire up, and then we're going to react to them. But while we are waiting, the crew is back there. They're analyzing what's going on and trying to make the best decision of what to do next.
I probably have about 45 minutes to make a decision.
Yeah.
So the question is, what, say 45 minutes go by, and these storms look no bigger than they do right now, then we have to make a decision. Either go east to give it more time, go south to try to catch more of the pearls.
The storm that we're targeting right behind me. So we rode out in front of the storm and we're putting out our stick nets. They're basically weather stations. They're going to tell you temperature, relative humidity, wind speed and direction, as well as pressure. And within minutes, we will have the data not only to use today, but in the future to do research on these storms.
I think we're getting all the data, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Okay. Yes, what we're looking at here are actually, this is live data from the probes we just deployed over the last half hour, extending from our position back up to the north. So we can see the temperature, the dew point, as well as the air pressure, and the wind direction and wind speed.
Purdue, we're headed out again.
This information is not only coming from the Texas Tech team, but from a host of field scientists. It will take months to go through the data, but in the end, the risk these storm chasers are taking will eventually help save lives.
Whether you're watching from a high school, middle school, or college campus, the one place to request a mention on our roll call is CNNStudentNews.com. First school today is from northern Belgium. In the city of Antwerp, hello to our friends at Ons Lieve Vrouw College. Across the Atlantic, we're making a stop in Charleston, West Virginia. Hello to the generals watching from Stonewall Jackson Middle School. And from the town of Ecru, Mississippi, it's great to see the Vikings. North Pontotoc High School is on the roll. For as long as people have been driving, there have been driving distractions. Even the first cars on the road, some didn't even have roofs. They tended to attract crowds of onlookers. Now we think of driving distractions in terms of text messaging. But decades before that was invented in 1992, the U.S. National Safety Council was using media to try to save lives on the road. It's come a long way, but still has some miles to go.
Buckle up for safety, buckle up. Buckle up for safety, always buckle up. Put your mind at ease, tell your riders, please. Get your seatbelts buckled, everybody buckle up.
Remember your skill diagram? Eyes, brain, hands and feet, all working together.
Would you wear my safety belt?
Oh, Henry.
Oh, Sonny, after all these years, I find out you really love me. You made me put on the safety belt.
Oh,
sweetheart, everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine. Did he finally go down the slide?
He did great. Too soon. Okay, bye.
You deserve to disconnect.
A videographer was recently exploring the waters off the Galapagos Islands when he came across this, a marine iguana. Not to be confused with the kind you might have seen in Florida, these lizards are huge. This one's likely around 6 feet long. Thankfully for the divers, it's a herbivore, and what it lacks in good looks, it makes up for in swimming ability. It's like a mini Godzilla weaving its way through the water. And even if iguana not the prettiest thing in the world, you'd have to be cold-blooded to reptile me. There's iguana no way you wouldn't swim with one, given that outside the Galapagos, most people have never seen one herb before. I'm Carl Azuz, and if you promise to lizard to us again tomorrow, I'll iguana knock it off with the rest of the puns today.